back in Turin last year at the contest, Rosalyn performed for Armenia. She was eighth in the running order with a song called Snap. You might have heard of it. It came in 20th position. But after the contest, something special happened. The song started making moves, it got picked up through TikTok, and became one of the biggest tracks of the year. Suddenly, Rosa found herself on an incredible journey. The song was everywhere. She appeared on TV shows around the world. She went to LA and ended the year by playing a homecoming gig of sorts at the Junior Eurovision Song Contest in Yerevan. The song is one of the most streamed Eurovision tracks of all time. Rosa, who is from a small town in Armenia, is now living her life as a global pop star. So 1 year on, I thought it was the perfect time to catch up with her. So please enjoy this chat with Rosalyn.
Hello, 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 Steve.
It's so good to speak to you again. I can't believe it's been a year since we first met, really. We did the turquoise carpet a year ago and we're here again.
I cannot believe it either. It still feels like yesterday, that whole thing. The memories are so vivid. I can't believe it's been a year.
I know, but what a year you've had. It's been crazy. If you had to sum it up in a sentence, what would that sentence be?
I don't think it's possible to sum it up in one. I mean, okay. It's going to be a long one.
Yeah, that's fine.
I wrote a song that became the song for Armenia on Eurovision that then became a global hit that then got me a deal with Columbia that then got me all these wonderful opportunities that led me to opening up for Ed Sheeran and releasing an EP this summer.
It's incredible. I'll talk about Ed Sheeran in a minute, but did you ever think that this would be happening to you? You're in Los Angeles at the moment, right? Which is so far.
Yes.
It's so far away from your hometown in Armenia.
It is very far away. I wish it was closer, you know, so I would get to go home sometimes. But I mean, it makes me happy and sad too, because you know, I have my ups and downs here. It's a lot, you know. It's overwhelming. Everything, the ups and downs are so extreme. It's like a roller coaster, you know. One day is the happiest day, and then second day I'm like, I just want to go home, you know. So I'm still going through that process of like adjusting to this new life of mine. But I have to say, I mean, I've always dreamt of this, and I've always believed in this. I manifested it every day in my life, so it's not really surprising me. I convinced myself as a kid that this is going to be my life. So I think that saves me from going crazy these days.
It's great. And you've got a really lovely team around you as well. And you've got so many fans that you developed from Eurovision and fans that you developed from your song. Do you feel a lot of love?
I feel a lot of love. I feel tons of love from Armenia, from back home. That really keeps me going. And I am super, super happy, because it's one thing when your nation loves you, and that's another thing that just people who've never met you, who've never seen you, but they kind of understand you just from hearing the song, and they, you know, they love you just for your music. I, as a fan, love a lot of people just for their music, so I feel good to be one of the artists that get that love.
Everyone knows the story of Snap. Everyone has followed your journey. And I was talking on the podcast to Bjorn from ABBA and to Martin Osterdahl, who's the big boss of Eurovision. And they were talking about you, because they were saying what you did.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. They were.
Wait. Yes. Hold on a second.
Yeah, so, but
Bjorn.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay. So what we were saying was how you did something unique last year to move Eurovision forward. Basically, it didn't matter where you came in the final. you used Eurovision as a springboard to having this absolute global hit. And Martin was really proud of that fact.
It's hard to sit down and analyze it, you know. I'm sure maybe subconsciously, you know, whatever I'm going through, I wrote lots of songs about that, I think. I wrote lots of songs about that process. I wrote, actually, my next single, Hallelujah, mm-hmm. that comes out on May 12th, I wrote about a moment that I've experienced during Eurovision semifinals.
So what was that moment?
There was the semifinals. I finished my rehearsal. Deodato was going to perform, and I absolutely love that song, Fai Rumore. Mm. And I never heard it live, and the first time I heard it live, I basically ran back to the stage to hear that song live, and I just started sobbing and crying, and this, like, that was just pure happiness and euphoria. And I can connect it to a lot of things that happened, and I feel like that is a sum up. You asked me to sum up my year. I think that song is the sum up of my year. All this, like, euphoric moments that I've always dreamt of, and kind of everything that led me here. Yeah, I don't know. I get emotional when I speak about it.
I don't want to make you. No, it's not. You don't get upset. It's just it must be pride, right? It just must be pride in what's happening.
It is pride. I'm absolutely not upset. I just, you know, whenever I think about, or whenever I scroll, you know, down in my photo gallery, I just, there are so many wonderful memories of from Eurovision and from this last year that's, I always just, it just feels good. It just feels bittersweet, you know. You're like, I miss this, but I also love this memories, you know.
I remember when you put on your Instagram that you would be opening up for Ed Sheeran, and I was like, oh my goodness, that is incredible.
That is incredible. That is surprising. Like, I've dreamt of a lot of things, but I didn't really dare to dream about that for my first tour. And this is crazy. This is my first tour ever, and I'm going to start my tour on the stadium. That's opening up for Ed himself, you know, and I get to meet him and talk to him about music. That's all crazy. I feel so privileged and so lucky every day in my life.
If people haven't checked it out yet, Never Be Mine, your song that you've released as well, is beautiful. The vocals on that,
thanks.
Rosa, the vocals.
Thank you.
Was that...
I know. I know, Steve. I was like, okay. Wait for it.
They're amazing.
Thanks.
What else is going on at the minute? You said you've got an EP out very soon.
Yes, we're finishing the EP, and we're going to release it a day before the tour, June 16th, I believe. And it's basically going to be six songs. It's going to be Snap, Never Be Mine, Hallelujah, that comes out very soon, and then three more songs. Three more new songs that I've done with the best human being on this planet. His name is Rick Knowles. He's such a legend. I'm very, very, very excited about it.
So since performing Snap at the grand final, what other performance of Snap kind of springs to mind for you that felt really special?
Number one is James Corden, right? Because we changed the arrangement we did something really, really cool using the Armenian instruments and the rocks for like 1800s. I really felt very, very proud of that performance, and that was like the performance that I watched too. I never watched myself performing because I'm always like, nah, you know, this note, this, you know, but that was a very good one. And then the performance of Snap in Yerevan for Junior Eurovision really blew me off. It was the energy that I got from the audience was unbelievable. And I did not expect it. I don't know why. It's just like I always don't expect anything crazy to happen on the stage, but I remember it, you know, I just got on stage and, you know, you know how it works. You got to wait like 30 seconds or whatever. And that whole 30 seconds were just like people just like screaming and cheering. And I was like, oh, my God, this is my home. I'm home, you know.
Yeah, your homecoming, the homecoming performance of Snap. We interviewed Brunette. I interviewed Brunette for the podcast and she talked about you as well, about how much she loves you. And she's now...
I love her. Yeah, but I love what so much.
That song has got drama. Do you like it?
The Future Lover.
Yeah, Future Lover.
I love that song. I mean, I had the luxury to hear it before it got released, and I said, this is really beautiful, very very beautiful. Very. I'm so proud that she's done it all herself. I'm really happy that she has an Armenian chorus, a chorus in Armenian. Mm. I think she's going to absolutely kill the performance. I've seen her perform live. I know how she sings. I know her personally. I know her. I know how she is on stage. And she's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely beautiful. She's gonna break some hearts.
Are you... So you're in LA at the minute. Are you still going to find the time to watch Eurovision?
Of course I am. I'm going to watch the second one and the grand finals.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a deal. Somehow I'm going to do it.
Do you ever watch your performance of Snap from Eurovision on YouTube? Or have you parked that now?
I've never seen that in my life. I've never watched that.
You've never watched it?
No, I've never watched that. I've never watched the finale itself. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll do that.
Yeah. Is that just because it's almost like you had it in your own mind, didn't you? You saw it through your own eyes. And that's how you
want to keep it. Yeah, I want the angle of... I want my memories to be only from my angle. I saw the audience, I saw the lights, I saw the... I want just to see it from my perspective. I don't want to ruin... And I'm not saying that I don't want to watch it because of, you know, the place or whatever, but I just, I remember it so well, and I'm just going to cherish my memory of that. And maybe one day in 10 years, I don't know, I will watch it and kind of cry a little bit.
After the grand final, how did you feel in that moment? And obviously now we're in such a different situation. You are in such a different situation. But how did you kind of deal with that first 24 hours after the grand final?
The first 24 hours were absolutely terrible. I handled it very terribly.
Okay.
I did not handle it. I got to be honest, though. Like, now that I'm here, you know, I can tell that I was really, really, really upset. Very upset. I was heartbroken, you know. But it took me, I guess, 2 days to be over it. Honestly, I was doing just fine after I got back home. It was my birthday, blah, 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 you know. But the first 24 hours were terrible.
But I just want to stress
so much to all the participants that, honestly, it does not matter. Like, it doesn't matter. The place doesn't matter. I always tell everyone that I get a chance to talk to that are going to perform on Eurovision, I'm like, please just enjoy it. That's going to be the best memory of your life. That's going to be the best, like, 2-3 months of your life if you just enjoy it. You know? If you look at things differently. And, you know, whatever happens, happens.
That is what I've been telling most of them when I've had the chance, because you know me, I just love to talk about Eurovision, and I've used you as the example. I always say Rosa Lynn did something different and proved that you don't have to come necessarily in the top five or anywhere near it to go on and have...
You don't even have to win.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can go and have an amazing, incredible year like you are. So I think you're a bit of an inspiration to a lot of people, you know.
I'm really happy to... You know, I think there are two types of artists that come to Eurovision, right? There's someone who's there just for Eurovision, and it's like it's such a thing. It's like it's such. I almost think Eurovision has to be like a genre of in like I don't know, like a, you know, of an artist, and then, which I absolutely love. I'm a huge fan of Eurovision. But I also think there's another type of artist that just tries to show, it's just a platform to show your music and your artistry. And to those who are just musicians who write their songs and they just want, and they're going to continue after Eurovision, you know, because there are some people who are just wanted to Eurovision and then kind of that's it, you know, and it's great. I respect that. But the people who are going to make music, despite the fact if they're going to get on Eurovision, if they're going to get the finals and after, like whatever happens, you're still making music and you're still releasing music, then honestly, who cares what place you are on Eurovision? It doesn't matter. People are going to listen to you no matter what. A lot of people don't even know I was on Eurovision. Like, you know.
It's a wonderful, as you know, it's a wonderful community of artists. There's so much, like, warmth between everybody. So I think what you've done is great and what you've said is great. And we will look forward.
Thanks.
We will look forward to the new single, Hallelujah, out on May the 12th, just before the grand final, just sneaking it in there.
Oh, yes. We are being smart. We are being smart, Steve. Over here, people are doing it. Right.
Yeah, completely. And then the EP in the summer. And we just will look forward to watching your career. And are so thankful that you've made it. So thank you so much, Rosa, for chatting to us once again on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Steve. Thanks for having me. That's always my pleasure. I can talk to you every day. I just want to wish good luck to everyone. And I'm really looking forward to watching Eurovision. I wish luck to Brunette more than anyone else, but, you know, still wishing luck to everyone. I love Eurovision, and you guys kill it this year, you know. It's gonna be amazing.